amen. Let's shake it up a little bit before I preach this morning. Let's stand and shake hands together as Miss Mary plays for a moment. Okay, if everyone find your seats, we'll get started. Amen. Amen. It was brought to my attention that I did forget birthdays. So did we have any birthdays we had this past week? We do have one, Brother Jay. He's not with us this morning, but he, I don't know how old he turned today, but he has a birthday today. Did we have any other birthdays? Hattie Grace, how old did she turn? Two. When was her birthday? Friday. Amen. Well, Hattie had a birthday turn too. Any other birthdays? We got to get Miss Hattie some money. We got to sing to Brother Jay as well. I've been told, I don't know all the details, but he Brother Jay is actually currently in the hospital not feeling well. So you be praying for him. I don't know what's going on exactly. But Miss Lori told Miss Doris that Jay's in the hospital not feeling too well. If I get more details on that, I can let everybody know. But please be praying for him. But let's sing happy birthday to Jay, and let's sing happy birthday to Miss Hattie. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Miss Hattie. And please be praying for Brother Jay, that whatever is going on with him, that the Lord would touch him and help him as well. So if you've got a copy of God's Word with you this morning, we will be in Exodus 35. Exodus 35, deviating at least for one Sunday morning from our walk through the book of Revelation. And I was telling Brother Bob, some would say that I'm preaching on the most uncomfortable topic to preach on in the world, and that is giving. But I think that it is uncomfortable because it has been preached out of context and wrongfully and done so wrong so many times that people are, it's uncomfortable because they've been burnt before. I don't think it's ever uncomfortable when you share it accurately from the Word and let the Holy Spirit do the work. And my goal this morning, and I know it's Building Fund Sunday, and I know we're going to take up that offering as you leave the building with the buckets in the back corner, but my goal is not to browbeat you into giving and putting something in that bucket before you leave. That's not my goal at all. My goal is to share with you the truth of the Word of God and to let the Holy Spirit work in your heart and life in whatever direction He leads. I encourage you to be obedient to, because God wants you to be a part of His work, and one of those ways is giving of our finances, of our money, and we'll see that as we study through Exodus chapter 35. I'm going to read starting out this morning verses 4 through 9. If you found your place, skins dyed red, and badger skins, and shittim wood, and oil from the light, and spices from the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, and onyx stones, and stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to share your word today. Please give me the grace to handle it correctly. And open all of our ears to hear what your word has to say to us. And give me the grace, Lord, to just preach the truth and trust the Holy Spirit to do the work. But I thank you, Lord. Preached in context truthfully, your word says it will not return void, but it will accomplish what you set out for it to do. So I pray you'd speak to us this morning, burden us. Lord, show us how we can be a bigger part of your work, I pray. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we move through the message this morning, and I'm going to try to move fairly quickly, but the first thing I want to see in our text, and the Lord laid this scripture on my heart a long time ago when He led me to begin the Building Fund Sunday, and I know that we were coming up upon the building project, and in the coming days as we near the end of the project, we're going to have a thermometer to show where we're at and where we need to be, and that way we can see the progress that we're making and to show what God's doing, because I think that will encourage and help everyone. But the Lord laid this text on my heart because what we see here is something very similar to what we're doing here at our church. And we see this in point number one. The first thing I want to point out is the plan that we have here in the book of Exodus chapter 35. The plan, as we think about the plan, point A underneath that is the plan was for a place for His presence. A place for His presence. Presence. And in verses 10 through 20, I'm not going to read it, but in verse number 10, it does say, and every wise-hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord hath commanded. Then it says the tabernacle. So the plan here, and it goes down a long list of things to bring and jobs for people to do to get the house of God built. Now, I thank God, now that we live in the New Testament under the covenant of grace, when we got saved by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, tabernacles in us. We are the tabernacles of God. But I believe this also pictures a place where God wants to meet with His people, and I believe a church house is just that. See, that was the plan of God. The plan of God was to have a place for His presence. And I believe it's God's plan for Mount City Baptist Church that He have a place that His presence is welcome, that He can move. Because I don't want this just to be a place where we have a nice building or we have nice facilities. We've got all the nicest things, but God's not within 100 miles of it. I want this to be a place where God is and He makes His presence known, where sinners walk in and they fall under conviction and they're drawn to God in repentance and faith. I want this to be a place where God is. And see, that's why we're going to blow out this wall, and that's why we're doing the building project, because we want to get more people in this place. We want to get more lost souls in here. We want to get more bodies so that we can preach the gospel, so that more people can be saved, so the work of God can continue. The plan in Exodus was a place for His presence, and the same thing here. God wants this to be a place where His presence can be manifest and He can work. That was the plan. And then we see here in the book of Exodus, we see not only that He wants it to be a place for His presence, but we see here the proof of this plan. God had some things where he solidified this plan, I believe, in the heart of Moses and in the heart of these people. And we see first, the first thing in Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 35, we see the shining. Remember, Moses went on Mount Sinai 40 days, 40 nights, came down after meeting with God, and his face literally shined because he had been in the presence of God. And you have to understand at this time, and we'll talk more about this in a moment, they did not have the completed word of God that is enough to validate. We don't need outward signs to validate what God said. But at this time, they didn't have the complete word of God. So I believe the Lord gave them a sign literally on the face of Moses that God had spoken to him, that the word was from him. Look what it says here in verses 29 through 35. It says, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin on his face shone while he talked with him. And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward all the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And he came out and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, and Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went in to speak with him." So we see here God validated what he had said, what he was going to say to the people through Moses, through literally his face was shining because he had been in the presence of God. And that would encourage them or show them, hey, this is what God said. This man has literally been in the presence of God. So it was validated by the shining, but also by the scriptures. And see, that's how it's validated, should be validated to us today. That's how God verified it, gave me peace and assurance in my heart, was through the word of God. It wasn't like, well, I think it's a good idea, let's just go with it. Although it is a good idea to build on, to add on, if your heart's in the right place when you do it. But you don't just do it because you think it's a good thing to do. You got to do it because God said do it. And when I say God said do it, it's not going to be, well, I just felt that God spoke to me and said we need to do it. No, what we need to say is God said something to me that validated in my heart. That's what we need to do. And see, that's why we're doing this. God laid some scriptures on my heart that validated that this is exactly what we need to do. See, in any decision in life, I encourage you, have a scripture to stand on. If you make a decision, have a scripture to stand on so that if you make that decision and when you're in the midst of whatever comes after that decision, it may be tough, it may be hard, but if you're standing on the word of God, which is the rock, which we're talking about in Matthew 5 through 7, no matter what storm comes your way, you'll stand firm because you're standing on the word. So that's why so many Christian works, I guess you could say, have fallen flat on their face because they were doing a good thing, but they weren't standing on the word. And we see here that they were, and we are, by God's grace, standing on the word. We see in chapter 34, verse 29 again, "And it came to pass when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mount, that Moses wist not that the skin of his face shone." We read about it earlier, but he had two tables of stone. What made those so special? They had the word of God on them. And Moses was about to share that with his people. 35:1 says, "And Moses gathered all the congregation of the children of Israel together and said unto them, these are the words which the Lord has commanded that ye should do them." So he's getting ready to say, I'm about to tell you what God said. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. That's how God validated his work then. And that's how God validates his work now, through his word. You say, well, there isn't a scripture to give me direction on this decision I'm making in life, whatever it may be. The Bible says that everything that pertains to life and godliness is in the knowledge of him. This word has something to say on every situation. You'd think God wrote it and meant it to be that way, which he did. And that's what he wanted you to have an absolute guidebook for life. Say, Lord, I've got this decision. Well, he's got something to say about it. Lord, I'm on the fence. Well, he's got something to say about it. You say, well, how do I find it? How do I? Well, you're going to have to get in the Bible. You got to spend some time. You're going to have to learn it. That's why so many people make so many bad decisions, because they're not in the Word. So the Word is not in them, not directing them or guiding them. But see, that it was the proof of the plan, the shining on his face, but the Scriptures. And that's what we're standing on today. So we see the plan was for there to be a place for his presence. The proof of the plan was the shining and the Scriptures. And then we see, thirdly, under the plan, we see the path was through his people. God had a work to be done. And the path to complete that work was through the people of God. Some of the people of God would physically do the work, and probably do the, and some of those, and even more, who maybe didn't do the work, gave to the work. The path for the plan was through his people. Look at verses 4 through 9. We read that earlier. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram's skin, dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for anointing oil and from the sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. So he said, you go home, take an inventory of what you've got. And if what you've got is something we need for the work, if you have a willing heart led by the Lord, bring it. And that was how the work was going to be done. And that's how this is going to be paid for. God has designed it for Mountain City Baptist Church. We're not looking for an outside person to say, you know what? I got some money I need to get rid of for a tax deduction here. Why don't you guys have it? That's not what we're waiting on. God wants God's people to get in on the work. See, and as you give to the work, God will bless in your life. Now, I'm not saying, because when people hear that in regards to giving, that you automatically go to some of the crazy TV preachers say, oh, you give $1,000 and the Lord will give you everything you want and you'll never get sick and everything's going to be okay and you're going to be a millionaire. That's not what I'm saying. That's a lie straight from the pits of hell. We learned about Job this morning, the godliest man on the face of the earth at the time of his life, and probably one of the godliest to ever live. And he went through some of the worst, if not the worst, trials anyone will ever go through. And he was a godly man. That spits in the face of the prosperity gospel. But as you give to God's work, he will bless you because you were obedient to him. Your faith will be strengthened, and it will motivate you to give more, you know, like more consistently, more faithfully, maybe more, whatever it may be. But we will see here, he wants God's people. The path is through his people. That's the plan. But we see here the provision. Because the question is, as we read verses 4 through 9, is where in the world are they going to get these things? Are they going to have to go out and buy them? No, they already had them. How did they already have them? Go with me to Exodus 12. We're going now to the end of the account, where Israel is finally about to leave Egypt. And on their way out, we see God do something special. We see God really do what he said he would do. This was the plan all along. This is what he promised. But we see in Exodus 12, verses 31 through 35, the Bible says, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. That's Pharaoh talking. Verse 33. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people. They're pushing them out the door. They're saying, get away from us, that they might send them out of the land in haste. For they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of the Lord, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. So you see here, and it goes on, verse 36, and the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. You see here, God gave the people of God what they needed to be a part of the work of God way before they ever got to needing to build the tabernacle. What a beautiful thing. You think God's in control of this thing, and He is. You know, God knew a long time ago that Mountain City Baptist Church was going to have a building project, that Mountain City Baptist Church was going to have a great missions program, that Mountain City Baptist Church was going to have a King's Kids program, that Mountain City Baptist Church was going to have all the ministries that we have here today. And in His sovereign will and knowledge, He enabled you to have what you have now so that you can be a part of that. That's why God has given you what you've given you. Some people say, well, I earned that, I did, blood, sweat, and tears, I earned it myself. Well, who gave you the strength to do it? Who gave you the job? Yourself? Well, yeah, I did good in the interview. No. I mean, maybe you did, but God enabled you to do good. Ultimately, it is God. God knew what we were going to have going on here, and He wanted you. Remember, in the Christian walk, we have nothing to offer. God's got to give it to us if we're going to be able to do anything at all. If we're going to serve, He's got to give us the ability. If we're going to give, He's got to give us the money. And if we're going to get to heaven and have any crowns to offer, He's going to have to enable us to do it. That's how the plan of God, that's how it works. It's not us. It's Him doing it through us and Him giving us things to be a part of His work. We need to understand, and we're going to talk about it more in a moment, what we have is not ours. And that makes a lot of people unhappy. And if that makes people unhappy, it's because they have the wrong perspective. If you get in the Word, you will completely and fully understand that what you have is not yours. We see here as we think about the provision. First, Israel here in chapter 12, they were leaving Egypt, and God had provided for their salvation. God made a way for them to get out. And if you're here today, saved by the grace of God, He did the same for you. And if you're here today and you're not saved, He did that for you. And just as it was in the Old Testament, what kept them, the death angel, from killing anyone in Israel was the blood was on the door. And if you're saved by the grace of God, that is how your salvation was provided to you. The blood has been applied to your life. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, provided for you your salvation. You had nothing to offer. You could not save yourself. Neither could I. Nobody can. So Jesus did what needed to be done and provided it for us. And I say praise His name. But not only did He provide salvation, but He also provided a supply for their needs. And as you continue on throughout the Old Testament, it talks about me several times. And one of my favorite things is when they get into the Promised Land, when they had their first meal in the Promised Land, that's when the supply from the wilderness ran out. Because they were in the Promised Land, a new supply was going to be provided. God met their needs. God's people wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. Now, that was because of their sin, not because God made them wander. They chose to be in the wilderness, but their clothes didn't wear. Their shoes didn't wear. God took care of His stubborn people. God met their needs. And God promises to do the same for you and for me. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Everybody probably knows this one, but I want to read it just to make sure I get it correct. Philippians 4, 19. The Bible says here, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." If you're a child of God, your needs are going to be met from the bank account of God. Praise God. That bank account never runs empty, but will always be full. And when He blesses or He enables or He gives to you and to me, it doesn't come out. The bank account never comes empty because it's come from. Now, my bank account, sometimes you may go to it and try to pull something out and you'll be like, me try again. Try to swipe it again. Maybe empty sometime. But God's never will be. He will meet the needs of his children. He took care of stubborn Israel. He's going to take care of stubborn us. Because we can't think that we're better than they were. Put in the same situation, who knows how we would act. But God took care of them. God took care of us, is going to take care of us. So provided for their salvation, provided supply for their needs, and this is where I want to get to. And he provided so they could support the work of God. God provided to them so that they could support the work of God. And we see that in chapter 35, I believe it is, verse 31. It says, and he hath filled him with the Spirit. I believe that's the wrong scripture. We won't go there. But God provided for their needs so that they could give to the work of God. And he provided for it way before they got there, back in Exodus 12. God has given you what you have to be a part of his work in some way, shape, or form. And let me back up, and I'm not going to camp here long at all. But as we think about the building fund or the missions fund or the King's Kids fund, that is not your tithe. I want everybody to understand that. The tithe is what comes off the top. And that is what and I've heard one preacher say, and he says it well. He said, we're just talking about the tithe. We're not talking about your money yet. The tithe is God's money. Technically, it's all God's money. All that he asks of us at the bare minimum is 10%. And some may say, well, we live in the New Testament. The 10% is Old Testament. You think God would ask less of us in the New Testament under the new covenant of grace than he asked of his people in the Old Testament of 10%? And if we're going to get technical, it was 23% in the Old Testament thereabouts. So if we're going to get technical, I mean, it's more than 10%. But off the top, what we're talking about this morning and all the other funds is not to take the place of your tithe. I heard one preacher say, as I was listening to a message kind of helping me get my thoughts in order last night, he was talking about, well, some people say, well, every month I pray about where the Lord would have me send my tithe, and that's where I send it. Whether this ministry or that ministry or this ministry or that ministry. That is not how the tithe works. The tithe is designed to come off the top. The first 10% or whatever, at least 10%, I would say, is designed to be given to a local church body, because the Bible promotes you being in a local body, a part of a local body. That 10% goes to the local body. Now, anything over that, or whatever you designate as your tithe percentage-wise, anything over that, that you can give. You can do like those people say, and then you can pray about where God would have you give. Well, God, how much would you have me give to missions? How much would you have me give to the building fund? How much would you have me give to King's Kids? How much would you have me give to this ministry that I really like? That I listen to their preaching, and they're doing great things, and they're sharing the gospel. But the tithe, that is not the tithe. I want us all to understand that. If you came today with your tithe in your pocket and you say, I'm going to give that to the building fund today, don't do that. Give it to the tithe, because that's not what it's for. And you say, well, I don't have enough to give my tithe and the building fund. That's fine. Just give your tithe. That's God's money. Give it as the Bible requires. But we see here, he has provided to us so that we can support the work of God. And you say, well, Pastor Tyler, I don't know if I can support the work of God. Well, sometimes it may mean we need to take a step back and look at our finances and see where our money is going and see what maybe needs to be changed. I'm not saying you have to. But if you're unable to give to the work of God because you've got too much money going places, you need to take a step back and reevaluate. Because God will not bless any Christian life like he wants to if you're not giving as he requires, at least the tithe. And it may mean taking a step back and saying, well, do I need this streaming service? Do I need this gym membership? Do I need this plus membership? Do I need the commercialist membership? If you want to get serious about giving to the work of God, it may take a close examination of your finances. And if you get down to the nitty-gritty, I bet you can get to a place where you can give. And it may mean sacrificing some things. But would you rather your money go to a streaming service or to the work of God? Seriously, we need to consider those things. and make sure that we are giving as God would have us to. And I'm not saying that because I'm the pastor and I want your money. No, I want your God's touch on your life. And in order for Him to bless like He wants to, you need to give in obedience to Him, whatever that may be. And if you're not doing that, you're out of the will of God. And I'm not saying giving to the building fund. I'm saying God's got a will in regards to your giving. Are you in it? If you're not, that's a problem. So we see that provision. But we see, thirdly, the prerequisite, the requirement. Notice in verse number 5, and this is where you lose a lot of people in churches today. Take you from, verse 5, take you from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a, read the word, willing heart. That's the key. Willing heart. That, the word means voluntary, generous. In regards to that, the first thing I think of is desire. Do you have a desire to give? Or do you give because, well, all the pastor ever talks about is money, so I best I gotta give him off my back. Or do you come to church and say, I get to give to the work of God. God, you have given to me so that I can give to you. And you have a desire to give. If you don't have a desire to give, and I'm not just saying today for the building fund, I'm not trying to pull money out of you to put in the plate later. That's not my desire. My desire is for you to find God's will for your life in regards to your giving. A child of God should have a desire to give to the work of God in whatever facet that may be. Now, once again, let's take a step back for the tithe. I'm not saying, well, if you don't have a desire to give your tithe, you shouldn't do it. No, the tithe is a duty. The tithe is a requirement. The tithe is a command. Okay? I'm talking about desire to give to missions, to give to building fund, to give to King's Kids, to give to ministries that are doing great things. Children of God should have a desire to give to those things. Do you have that desire? If you have the right desire, you will have the right demeanor. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, everybody knows this scripture. 2 Corinthians 9:7. The Bible says there, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Would that describe the way you give? Or is it an angry, unhappy, begrudging? If you're not giving willingly with joy in your heart, keep your money in your pocket. God doesn't need it. And I don't mean that in an arrogant, mean way. But if you're not giving in the right spirit, how's God going to bless it? I mean, you're expecting, God promises to bless His children. And as you're obedient, as you give, as He leads, He will bless. But if you do it begrudgingly, remember, it's possible to do the right thing the wrong way. That includes giving. You may be doing the right thing, but if you're doing it in the wrong spirit, that's an issue. If you can't give with joy in your heart, you need to get with the Lord. And we'll talk about how to develop that in a moment. But children of God should have that spirit of willingness, that spirit of joy and opportunity that we get to give. And that's what happens a lot of times when you're not getting in the word. See, you get a warped perspective thinking that you've earned what you've got, that it's yours, not God's, and you can do with it as you please. But as you get in the word, you realize it's not yours, it's God's. You did nothing to get it. You can't do anything to keep it. It's all the Lord's. So you get in the word, you get a proper perspective. You have the right desire, you have the right demeanor. You will give joyfully, but this is developed. This is developed four ways, quickly. I already talked about it, but study of the scriptures. You need to get in the word and get a proper perspective of what you have and whose it is. All of us, myself included. What we have is not ours. The Bible will teach us that. God gave it to us so that we could give to Him. We need to get in the word. But not only do we need to study, but we need to surrender. We need to, like the Bible says, reckon it so. The Bible saying something and you believing it are two different things. The Bible's basically telling us that what we have is not our own. And us surrendering and saying, God, what I have is not mine, but yours, is two different things. Once God shows that to us, we've got to fall on our knees and say, Lord, what I have is not mine, but yours. And I am willing to give it, whatever it may be, wherever you would have me to do so. And that's what Israel had to do right here. They had to take an inventory. And we'll talk about it in a moment. I'm sure they prayed and said, Lord, what do you want me to give? But so study, surrender. And then once you've surrendered, you have surrendered, say, God, I'm willing to give in whatever manner you see fit. Then there's the seeking. Ask God, God, where do you want me to give? God, how much do you want me to give? Lord, how do you want me to put my money here and divide it up there? And God will give direction. Once again, the Bible's got something to say about that, if you will let it say it to you. Study, surrender, seeking. And then when God shows you where or how much He wants you to give, the key is submission. You do it. Sometimes you may not understand why, but if the Lord leads you that direction, give as He leads. And I'm definitely not the example of this. There are many, many more Christians that do a better job of it than me, but I can say that in my life, as God has led and I have given as He led, every time He blessed in a very special way. And most times, He gave it back and then some. Like, example, I mean, there have been times where everybody here, I'm sure, buys somebody's food sometimes. Somebody's behind you, and you feel led, and you say, hey, I want to get theirs behind me. You know, as far as I can recall, every time that I may have missed a time or two, but every time I've ever done that, the Lord has either had somebody give me money to get me food, or somebody later that day buys my food. I think it's the Lord just saying, hey, you give. And I'll bless. You give, and I'll bless. You give as I lead, and I will bless. I will take care of you. The scripture I talked about the other day, give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Then it goes on to say, with what measure ye met, it shall be measured to you again. If that was the gauge of our giving, if you got back what you gave, how much would you get? If I was honest with myself, a lot of times in my life, I wouldn't have much. I'd have some light pockets. But God says His scripture, His word, that the phrase "you cannot outgive God" is 100% true, and I have every time without fail seen that to be the case. So we've seen here the plan, the provision, the prerequisite. Now we see number four, the prayer, and I hope that you've already done this before you came today. And if you haven't, our plan is to have a building fund Sunday, the fourth Sunday of every month, until we get the project paid for. And I've tried to say it every time, but have you prayed about how God would have you give? As Moses gave the command, I'm sure these people went back to where they were living and looked through what they had. And if they had something to offer God, we're going to see in a moment, they grabbed and they took and they gave. We need to take inventory of what we have and ask God, how would you have me to give it? Where would you have me to give it? How much would you have me to give it? God has an answer for all those questions. He doesn't have an answer for one question and the rest is up to you. No, He wants to get real specific. You don't believe me that God's real specific? Go through the layout of the tabernacle. Help us, Lord. He's meticulously specific because God has an exact way He wants things done, and that includes our giving. We got to pray and ask, see how He would have us give. But not only the prayer, we see next in our text the participation. The participation of God's people. Look at verses 21 through 29 of chapter 35. The Bible says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him. That means whose heart lifted him up. Whose heart led him, lifted him up, stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, And they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing hearted, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewels of gold, and every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Every one that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering. And every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both the blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. And all the women whose heart stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair, and the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to bring or commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. These people brought. And if you'll notice, they didn't all bring the same thing or the same amounts. I'm not here saying today that everybody's got to give the same amount. You've just got to give what God leads you to give. Be that a dollar, $1,000. If God leads you to give a dollar, praise God, you're in the will of God. You do that, and he'll honor that. But you got to find what God wants. See, some people had onyx stones. Some people had badger skin. Some people had different things. We're not all to give the same thing. We're just to give what God leads us to give. And look at chapter 36, verses 1 through 7. And tell me, hey, I don't know if I've ever heard of this much in churches. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even every one whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. And the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Then verse number six, it says, and Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. They had given so much that Moses literally had to say, stop giving. We have enough. We don't need any more. Have you ever heard that in a church? I cannot recall if I have ever heard that. And the reason that there was such an abundance of giving was because of the willing heart. Now, the Holy Spirit at that time did not indwell permanently, but the Holy Spirit, I believe, would empower and lead, and then when the work was done, remove himself. That's an Old Testament principle, and I believe that may have been what happened here. He stirred the heart of these people to give to the work of God. They did so much, though, that Moses literally had to say, stop bringing gifts. We have enough. Man, what a beautiful sight there. So we see there the participation. And here's where I wanted to get to. And finally, the product, the end result. We see, obviously, in chapter 40. Go with me to chapter 40 and we'll be done. Chapter 40, verse 33. The Bible says there, and he, Moses, reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar and set up the hangings of the court. So Moses finished the work. The people brought. The Lord empowered the workers to build. Moses finished the work. The tabernacle was built. So the first thing under the product, they completed the project. But see, our goal is, I mean, we want the project to be completed, but that's not the end game. That's not our ultimate goal. The project completion is just a stepping stone to something else. So we see the completion of the project, but we also see the coming of the potentate. What I mean by that is God honored what they did and blessed it with his presence. Verses 34 and 35. The Bible says, then, once the work was done, then A cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. They did it the way God wanted them to. They gave as God led them to. They completed the work as God had intended. And then when they did what God wanted them to do, He honored it with His presence. So much so that the man of God could not enter the temple because the power of God was so strong. Wouldn't that be something special about Mount City Baptist Church? That God would bless it so much so that with His presence that a sinner could not step foot on the premises without being drawn to God in repentance and faith. That a child of God that's got sin in their life that's undealt with, they walk on the property. They immediately fall under the chastening hand of God and they run and repent of their sin. Wouldn't that be a special thing? God wants His presence to be that way. We think that's Old Testament. We put God in a little bitty box nowadays. God wants to show up in a manner that we cannot comprehend or explain in a human manner. I've experienced this, not literally this, but the closest thing I could ever describe to what you see there. I was a part of a meeting, and God showed up in such a way, it was almost literally like a fog filled the place. Unlike anything, that's the only way I can describe it. As far as I know, there wasn't a lost person that was there that night that didn't leave saved. As far as I know, there wasn't a believer that came there with something that they needed to deal with that didn't deal with it before they left, and the roof blew off that place. Not because of the preacher that was there, not because of the group that sang, but because God showed up. And God wants to do that every Sunday, every Wednesday, every time we do something. You say, well, God only wants to do that on Sunday morning because that's the biggest service of the week. If that's the case, we need to cancel Wednesday and we need to cancel Sunday night. I'm not coming just because that's what Baptists do on church nights. I'm coming because I want God to show up. I want God to speak. I want God to meet with us. I want God to save. I want God to chasten believers until they get rid of their sin and run to Him. I want God to show up. And if you're not coming with that mindset every time you enter this place, no matter what it may be a Saturday morning Bible study. I want God to show up. That's why we're here. And if that's not why we're here, then we have a problem. But for God to show up, we've got to be obedient. We've got to surrender. We've got to do what He says. So we see here the product, the completion of the project, the coming of the potentate. And one beautiful thing here, when God showed up now, they had a clear path. God would look at this. Now that God was there, now that they did it God's way, now they know when to go and when to stop. When to go and when to stop. They had clear direction. They had an exact time. Hey, this is where I need to go. This is where I need to stop. Hey, you know, when God shows up, He will make things clear. He will show the path. He will give the way. But you got to do it His way. You got to surrender, submit, do what He says. He'll show up and He'll give clear direction. Look what it says. Verses 36 to 38. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle of the children of Israel, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. They had clear direction because God was there. That's what I want here. But it's going to take me being obedient as God leads me. It's going to take you being obedient as God leads you. In regards to ministry, in regards to giving, in regards to our time, whatever it may be. But today we're talking about giving of your money. And all I ask, the only question I want to ask is, are you being obedient to God in that regard in your life? Be that to the building fund. Be that to the King's Kids. Be that to missions. Are you being obedient in regards to the tithe? If we're going to get even a semblance of God showing up like that, we've got to be obedient. I can't be obedient for you, and you can't be obedient for me. But by God's grace, we need to be and we can be. And as we do, as God leads, He will honor that. Sometimes that may mean giving sacrificially. Sometimes God wants us to give in such a way that we've got to completely trust Him during it, and after it. Say, God, this is what you led me to give. I'm going to give it, but I don't know what I'm going to do after that. If God leads you to give it, you do it, and he'll take care of you. But will we do it? It is a privilege to give. That is a great form of worship. And I guess we could say, do you worship God as he intends for your life in that regard? May God help us to seek his will in the area of giving, myself included. And the Lord will enable us, if we'll let him, to do it. As Miss Mary comes to the piano this morning,